From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of June 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. And we'll take a look at the cash grain market with Matt Bennett from TGM from Windsor, Illinois. Along the way today, we'll discover just exactly how the Western corn rootworm is adapting again to a technology farmers have been using in the field to control it. This time, the Western has been adapting to the BT technology, the first set of BT technologies released in the early 2000s in Iowa. They already have confirmation that the Western corn rootworm is resistant to some BT technologies, and it's quite likely that will be the case in the state of Illinois. Last year, the northwestern corner had some problems. Cass County over near Beardstown, a problem earlier this year. And then just this week, we've heard about another set that may be a potential problem for a western corn rootworm in BT corn, where they shouldn't be, from Ottawa. It all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Stay with us, because you may need to go dig some roots.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Here are the last trades in Chicago from the electronic trade for the CME Group. July futures for the soft red winter wheat at 660, down 4 cents for the day. September at 677 at a quarter, down 5 and 3 quarters. The hard red in Kansas City finished with a settlement price at $6.83. That was down 3 and 1 half cents. Back in the corn pit from Chicago, the final trades on the afternoon at 589 and a half, 2 o'clock straight up, down 22 and a quarter. September at 550 and a half, down 18 and a half. Half cents in December. Corn at $5.49 and three quarter last trade, down 16 and three quarters. March at 560 and a half, down 17 and a quarter. And the May at 567 and three quarters, 16 cents lower. July futures $5.73 and a quarter, down 16 and a quarter. And next year's December, that's the 2013 crop, at $5.45 a bushel, 11 and a half cents lower. July beans at $14.39, down 7 and a half. The August at $14.23 and three quarters, 13 and a quarter lower. September beans at $13.91 and a quarter, down 19 cents for the day. And November at $13.72 and three quarters, down 22 and three quarters. January at $13.70, down 23 and a quarter. The bean meal finished at $3.14. That's 11 cents. The bean meal finished at $4.26.50, 90 cents lower. Bean oil down 86 at $49.95. Here's what the livestock numbers finished up like on the afternoon. The nearby contract in the live cattle for the June at $116 even, down 60 cents. August feeders at $152.65, a dime lower. And July lean hogs at $95.60 per 100 pounds, up 85 cents, though the August was 2.5 lower at $92.12.5. The outside markets are trading the crude oil on a 10-minute delay for the tick now, $78.52 a barrel. That's down $2.93, has been as low as $78.05. Ethanol futures at $2.05.8, down 3.1 cents. Natural gas at $2.58.8. That's 7.1 cents higher for the day. Diesel fuel is down 5.5 cents at $2.53.2. And the gold futures on the afternoon at $1,564.50 an ounce, down 50.3. The U.S. dollar at 82.28, that's 0.70 higher. And the CRB index at 267.16 is down 5.75 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Those will come before 4 p.m. this afternoon. Partly sunny skies, a high of 83. Northwest winds at 9 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation for the afternoon, just 30% in the area. Tonight, mostly clear. And a low of 62 degrees on a northwest wind. And then tomorrow, sunny skies and a high of 84. North-northwest winds at 7 to 9. Friday night, mostly clear and a low of 61. Saturday, sunny and 86. Saturday night, cloudy and 65. Sunny on Sunday and a high of 87. Sunday night, partly cloudy and a low of 65. Monday, sunny and 79 degrees. Monday night, clear and 57. Tuesday, sunny and 78. Tuesday night, cloudy and 59. And Wednesday of next week, mostly sunny skies and 82 degrees.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line to take a look at what's been happening in the commodity markets is Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, Dan, tell me about this marketplace. It's been really pretty wild as we've headed through First Notice Day and the beginning of expiration of some contracts, and now things are moving sharply lower. What do you see?
Well, your longer-range computer models, they indicate that we are going to maybe have improved chances of rain next week. And that is what's kind of triggered this liquidation that we've seen in corn, soybeans, and then it kind of spilled on over in wheat. Another major factor is the collapse that we've seen basically in crude oil values, crude oil being down over $3 here today. That's kind of put a little pressure on the whole commodity complex. And really, you know, the dollar has been in a somewhat of a decline here, gradual decline, and today we're seeing it about 70 points. So that is, I think, kind of a reflection of the Federal Reserve Board not necessarily announcing anything aggressive and quantitative easing three. Now that may come. They've indicated that they were at least taking a look at it. We'll have to see. But I think that the combination of basically, improved chances of rain is the key. And then, of course, I think the stronger dollar kind of contributed to it. You know, the Western Corn Belt kind of got some pretty good rains overnight, so that kind of started the markets off a little weak. And then when the noon model runs indicated that we were going to have at least improved chances of rain, I think you just saw a lot of people kind of run for the exit door. We'll kind of see. I think we're within 5 days now of the big major report, the June 29th stocks and acreage report. So the market's going to get volatile pretty much. We'll see, you know, whether or not these wetter maps are confirmed tomorrow morning, tomorrow noon maps. We'll kind of take an indication on that. And you know, of course, the market could snap right back. But anybody that's looking at seasonal patterns year in and year out, on average, this is the week the markets have a strong tendency to make their summer high and then turn down from here. Whether or not that's going to be the case this year or not, we'll have to kind of wait and see.
At this point, when you look at the continuation chart, others too, I think, are we still in an uptrend for corn?
Oh, I believe so. We're still ahead for the month, and we've actually got monthly reversals, you know, in play or hook reversals in play in beans quite nicely. As far as the corn market, it's been more of a choppier type affair, but we've had a nice little spike up this week, losing. Some here today is not going to change unless it collapses again tomorrow, a weekly close. We're going to have a higher weekly close. We have penetrated the previous rally high point. So, you know, it looks to me that we have turned the corner. Now, the market may spend a lot of time going sideways, but I think this weakness that we had you know, through planting, the early planting, and then we had USDA come out with those bearish supply-demand estimates for the month of May and then kind of reinforced them there for the month of June. But now with the weather pattern having taken somewhat toll on yields, I'm not too sure where the market's going to settle in at, but I think, you know, for the time being, I think the market is probably somewhere down there around 160 bushel per acre on corn. That still raises a pretty good crop, but nothing, you know, in the excess that the 166 bushel yield would have yielded if we could attain that. I think the dryness that we've seen in the Eastern Corn Belt, the decline in crop rating levels, would suggest that those higher lofty yield estimates are probably gone for now.
What do you see in the soybean market?
Soybeans, I think the biggest worry in soybeans, and of course hoping that this weather map's probably showing more improved chances of rain, is to get these double crop beans up and growing. I've been in the southern part of the Corn Belt for the last few days, and there's a lot of bare fields. Either they're waiting around for rains before they plant the beans, or they've already been planted to beans and waiting on a rain to maybe get them germinate them, getting them up. The other thing you notice in beans is plant population is somewhat a little disappointing, especially in the no-till ground. So the bean crop, I think that also is questionable whether or not we're going to have as many acres as probably what USDA is going to report next week. We may have a lot of acreage abandonment because of dry weather. But there's been some major damage done to both corn and soybeans, at least in this lower third eastern Corn Belt area.
And earlier in the week, we gapped higher on the weeklies, or on the daily trade. That hasn't happened since, I think, October of 2010. Was it important to you or just something that happened?
What was this now?
The gap that we have in
the gap.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you have to, I mean, anytime you have one of those gaps that come into play, like we have seen in the markets like that, that is definitely something to take note of. It doesn't really show up so much probably in the December corn. I mean, your July corn did show that gap, but for the most part, I think you know the market's going to back and fill. And there is no doubt about it. I mean, this rally that we've had this week, we'll see what tomorrow's maps look like. If the market's able to recover some from today's losses, we're still back on track, I think, to try to climb higher into July, but we've got to see what kind of, if we are going to get this weather pattern shift that's kind of indicated in the computer model runs, which comes at a real critical time around the summer solstice, and if we do get that rain, then that's going to be a big benefit to production prospects because we're going to have a lot of corn tasseling here over the next 2 weeks.
Thanks so much. We'll talk with you again next week.
Very well, Todd.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises. Joins us from Mandeville, Louisiana, although I kind of think he was traveling this afternoon. I didn't ask where he was, so we're not quite certain where that is, but he's down in Mandeville, located at CGB Enterprises. We'll go see him in the month of August. Hope you're going along on that trip. If you're not, well, we'll probably try to schedule something again to go see where the corn's headed sometime in the future.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
No, we're wrapping up the fiscal year right now. Actually, we're wrapping up the fiscal year, but at WILL and Illinois Public Media, when we put our programs together, we do that based on what we actually have in the bank and what's actually in the account, not on what we think we could spend, but what's really truly there to spend. And so we're putting money in the accounts right now to start spending in the new fiscal year, which starts for us July 1. And we're kind of hopeful that you will help us round that out. I think we were hoping to get maybe about 10% in this last few days of what we wanted to spend over the coming months. And if you have the opportunity, help us out. Think the ag programming is awfully important to you. And you listen on the radio or on the web as a podcast. And you ought to dial this number right now, 217-244-9445. 55. Dave Tickey is your Director of Agricultural Programming. He and Les Schulte are both in studio to tell us why it's really important to make that phone call. And you can do it, Dave, very quickly at 217-244-9455. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express. Write us a check.
Just tell us you're going to pledge.
Smoke signals would be fine, too, as long as it came before June 30th. Mm-hmm. Well, the service, and I've been here now in the ag chair about 8.5, 9 years, and we have always built it on the premise that it is a partnership, that you, the ag listener, will come to us and tell us what your needs are, and we would do our best to try to fulfill those needs, to bring you the information you need in the way you want it, at the time you needed it, and how you'd like to see it. And that is what we've done over the last 8 years in our many ways of delivering agricultural programming to you, be it our podcasts or MP3 files or an Ag e-newsletter or an Outlook panel or an all-day Outlook meeting, or perhaps you're listening to us right now in one of our commercial affiliates. All different ways to provide you the information in a timely fashion that you need, because we believe in the partnership concept. So right now, in an exchange for that agricultural information during our pledge time, as it is right now, we ask that you become a member and support the agricultural programming that you use. And your contribution, because as Todd said, we pay it forward. We're building the money we need in the bank for the programming we put on next year, is vital right now. And you are our most reliable source of agricultural information. The number to call with your contribution of $120, less is fine, more is marvelous, is 217-244-9455. And we've already had a few people, less, that we can go ahead and thank.
Yeah, we would like to thank Carolyn Costello from Mendota. Thank you very much, Carolyn, for your pledge and contribution of support. We'd like to thank Ray Aiden from St. Joe. Thanks, Ray. We've also heard from Deborah Stewart from Urbana. And these are just a few of the people who are supporting our ag services and all the services, really, that they obtain here from WILL. And we appreciate that very much. And we're asking you to join them. If you have not yet made your contribution this fiscal year, we're kind of running to the end, the last few days. And so let's make that call and make that pledge of support at 217-244-9455. Or maybe you're working on your computer, just go over to willpledge.org.
And I did mention the $120 mm-hmm. level, but you know, for a couple of dollars more, $150
more.
Level,
yeah.
We got the ultimate ag geek toy.
Oh, this thing is slick. It is slick. It's the Eaton Solar Radio, AM/FM, NOAA Weather Radio, and it runs on solar power, battery power, and it's got a flashlight in it, it's got a cell phone charger, and if all else fails, just crank it up.
And it'll take your mother-in-law out to dinner.
Oh, man, it'll do all those things that maybe you don't want to do right at the moment.
Hey. Yeah, dial in at number 217-244-9455. Pledge your financial support for the agricultural programming right here from Illinois Public Media and willag.org. More in a moment. Up next, the western corn rootworm. It's been causing a problem over in Cass County. I'll have a report on what may be the spread of BT-resistant populations of one of the most costly insects in the Corn Belt. A lot of the Illinois corn crop looks really good. The weather may change that, but for now, despite the shortfall in rain, it's not bad, or at least most of it isn't. However, there is a field along the Illinois River near Beardstown that isn't faring so well. BT resistance may very well have arrived in Cass County. Thanks to University of Illinois Extension entomologist Mike Gray.
Well, this was a field that had been planted to a BT hybrid that offers protection, or it should offer satisfactory protection against corn rootworm larval feeding. The plants were under pretty intense moisture stress. It's been a hot and dry spring thus far in the state. The leaves were rolled very tightly. The adult beetles were feeding on the epidermis of the corn leaves, which will add further stress to those plants. This feeding on the leaves is pretty common when the beetles don't have any pollen, don't have any silks to feed upon. And so they were really causing quite a bit of injury to the leaves. But more importantly, after we began to dig up some roots, it was pretty clear that some very significant pruning had also taken place on those root systems.
On the 7th day of June, a full month earlier than would have been expected, in a hybrid that should have been protected by its BT modification, a full node of roots, sometimes 1.5 to 2 nodes, was missing. It could be BT-resistant Western corn rootworm.
Well, I think it could potentially. Last year, a researcher at Iowa State University published the first report confirming the evolution of field resistance to this Cry3BB1 protein. This was the protein that hit the marketplace for the first time back in 2003.
Following that report, there were fields in northwestern and north-central Illinois said to have significant Western corn rootworm feeding injury last year. Results of a bioassay to determine if those insects are in fact resistant to BT corn are due in August. We'll continue now our look at BT events designed to control the Western corn rootworm by examining a brand new paper by a couple of folks, a couple of the nation's most respected entomologists, in fact. They are calling for a dramatic increase in the refuge area used for BT corn hybrids active against the corn rootworm. In the latest issue of the Journal of Economic Entomology, titled Delaying Corn Rootworm Resistance to BT Corn, two internationally respected entomologists have provided strong recommendations to the United States Environmental Protection Agency about refuge requirements for BT hybrids that offer corn rootworm protection. Doctors Bruce Tabishnik and Fred Gould, professors of entomology at the University of Arizona and North Carolina State University, respectively, make these specific recommendations. Quote, "We conclude that the current refuge requirements are not adequate because BT corn hybrids active against corn rootworms do not meet the high-dose standard, and Western corn rootworm has rapidly evolved resistance to Cry3BB1 corn in the laboratory, greenhouse, and field. Accordingly, we recommend increasing the minimum refuge for BT corn targeting corn rootworms to 50% for plants producing one toxin active against these pests, and to 20% for plants producing two toxins active against these pests. Increasing the minimum refuge percentage can help delay pest resistance, encourage integrated pest management, and promote more sustainable crop production." Unquote. Now, you can read exactly those words in the bulletin from the University of Illinois as reported by Mike Gray, extension entomologist. A couple of notes here. BT corn to control Western corn rootworm is a low-dose event. It is not possible to create a high-dose event for the Western corn rootworm. So from the get-go, this BT has been different than the BT used to control the European corn borer. That one has been around 7 years longer than the Cry3BB1 YieldGuard BT for the Western. It is a high-dose event, and the European corn borer just isn't around anymore. So there is a difference in the BT events targeting these two insects. Here's some highlights of Mike Gray's thoughts on the call for the 50% refuge. First, he agrees with it today and did back in 2002 when a scientific advisory panel recommended a larger refuge, minimum 50%. That's for hybrids containing just one Western corn rootworm BT, a 20% refuge for stacked hybrids. Gray says because all Western corn rootworm events are low dose, each is at risk, and that risk gets bigger as the events fail. Farmers, he thinks, should not plant hybrids containing the failed event in areas where the failure is confirmed. There is much more from Mike Gray on this issue. You can read it online at bulletin.ipm.illinois.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
You're listening to Will Ag and the closing market report, and we are counting them down, Les, the final few days of our pledge period to our end of the year. And I have a quick question for
you.
All
right, let's have it.
How many years do you reckon that Will Ag and the permutations before that we had on the radio station, agriculture in general, have been on the air serving our agricultural audience?
Ooh, wow, that's a good one. Three?
Da,
da, no, no,
da,
it's probably
da, da, da.
Wow, at least 20, maybe more.
More than 20, maybe more than 30.
Wow, maybe more, maybe 40.
More than 50.
Wow.
More than 60.
I know that we've been in business since 1922.
I believe that one of the most the first broadcasts that we had on the air was a program that said the title of which was Turning Cream into Gold.
That sounds like an ag report to me.
It does. I think we've had a 90-year commitment to agriculture, and we are going to be there for another 90 years with the support of our agricultural listeners. 217-244-9455, the number to call with your support.
Now, the thing is, we don't do it by ourselves. We depend on you, the people who use these services, the listeners of WILL, to step up at times like these and make a pledge and make a contribution to WILL. The number to call is 217-244-9455. If it's easier for you, you can make a contribution online at willpledge.org. Whatever amount fits into your budget works for us. You decide. We're just asking you to do your part. If you use these services, these agricultural services, and you depend on them to be here for you, now we're depending on you here at the end of our fiscal year. Call that number and make a contribution. And thanks.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Now you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the National Weather Service. Pete Leavitt is not available this afternoon to catch up with us on what has been happening around the planet in the weather for agriculture. But nearby this afternoon, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms, partly sunny today, with a high just 83 degrees and a northwest wind at about 9 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation in the area this afternoon is set at 30%. Tonight, mostly clear, around 62 for a low, and then sunny on Friday, a high of 84. Should be a beautiful week ahead. Friday night, mostly clear and 61. Saturday, sunny and 86 degrees. Saturday night, mostly cloudy. It'll drop to 65, and then on Sunday, mostly sunny skies in the area, and we'll have an 87-degree temperature. Sunday night, 65 degrees. Monday, sunny and 79, just a 79-degree high on Monday. And Monday evening, we cool all the way down to 57. Tuesday, sunny and 78. Tuesday night, partly cloudy and 59. And Wednesday, mostly sunny and a high of 82. Should be a magnificent beginning to the work week. And the only thing we're really missing is a little rainfall in that forecast. And maybe over time, we might be able to pick some of that up. If it doesn't happen, I think Dave Dickey, we could be in trouble as we head towards a critical time period for the corn in much of the state of Illinois and in a larger portion of the Midwest. Pollination not too very far away last night. In fact, I made a trip to Logan County to my home in Elkhart near Lincoln and Springfield. Stopped and took a couple of photos of some tassels in full shed and even some silks out. Actually, there were more than a few fields there that had tassels just popping out at this point. So the heat and the dryness, actually the dryness, will have an impact in the not-too-distant future,
The next 7 days seems to be a critical time frame for much of Illinois as well as Indiana, I would think.
Yeah, it would be a critical time frame for both, and we'll try to keep track of that here as we make our way through the Closing Market Report. And actually, Dave, you'll be the one that's doing that because next week I'm going to take off and head for another part of the planet.
Yes, you are. You're going on it's an agricultural tour, so to speak, is it not?
Well, yes, it's a European Union Center tour. So
yes.
Part of it. I do get to see caterpillar plant while I'm in Europe. We'll be headed to Luxembourg and Brussels next week. So you'll be in the hot seat and have to keep everybody on the up and up.
Well, I will be in the hot seat, and I will count those days down to that crucial acreage report. But, you know, Todd, the one that may be really important is that quarterly grains stock report, as we're trying to put a final pin on what the ending old crop stocks are.
Absolutely. Hey, one other last thing. There is a number we'd like people to dial in, wouldn't we? At,
just
a little bit of cash at the end of the growing season, or at the end of the at the end of our growing season for the fiscal year,
It is the end of our growing season. 217-244-9455 is the number to call. And just a reminder, the reason you are listening to this agricultural program right now is because someone stepped up and did it for you last year. Now it's your turn.
Thank you.
217-244-9455.
agricultural program and is made possible by...
That wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.